Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled, The Restoration and Renewal of All Things. Thank you to Jeff, Ed, Amy, and Don for being part of the video. The scripture reading is Isaiah 2, 1-5. Happy birthday this week to Chris and Cronti.
The reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be established above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations. He will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here with us today. Today I want to be particularly in the book of Isaiah, noticing the restoration and the renewal of all things. And then next Sunday, we will start our Christmas Advent sermons. On the 1st, we'll look at hope. On the 8th, we'll look at love. On the 15th, we'll look at joy. And then on the 22nd, we will look at peace. The book of Isaiah is a wonderful book. Talks about things that were going to happen in the distant future, things that haven't even come to fruition even now, and yet at the same time, some have. For example, in Isaiah chapter 1, he says that the restoration and the, this is amazing, that the restoration and the recreation will be coming, that everything will be restored. And that is repeated in Acts chapter 3 and verse 21. And then in Isaiah 57, I will restore comfort to all my people. And then he says in Hosea chapter 6, we will restore justice in the presence of the Lord. Joel chapter 3, I will restore the fortunes of Israel. And over and over and over again, it is the promise of God. And one of the great scriptures, I think, in all the Bible is found in Isaiah chapter 1, where he says this, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." The dominant theme of Isaiah is God bringing the impossible to the possible, that all of the earth is a family. Even many people don't know it in God. God's family is huge, and there's always room for more. He encourages us to share the invitation that many of us have received. Many of us have been baptized in pools and water and every place else in the river. My mother was baptized in an old shed at one time. It was just the way it was. And yet the beautiful, wonderful experience was always there. So the dominant theme all the way through is all the way through Isaiah is this dwelling place of God. And that all the way through the scripture, he says this, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples." And then these beautiful words, "They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And then these beautiful words that we still need today. Nation will not take up sword against nations, nor will they train for war anymore, because there will be no more war. That's a promise of God, written many, many years ago. And for many, we continue to wait for that beautiful, beautiful promise of God. And so all the way through the scriptures in Isaiah, we talk about this renewal of all things, where a whole creation, Paul talks about this when he says that all of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. That even though day after day it seems to be like, no, there's this promise of God that one day all things will come together as one. Many of you remember Martin Luther King Jr., who stood in front of thousands and thousands of peoples declaring that all people of all nations, of all color of skins, come together as one. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And then in Matthew 28, to go into all the world as disciples and share the word of God. And there's this beautiful scripture in chapter 19. In my mind, you just have to visualize it. I thought about this over and over again. Enemies who become brothers and sisters. It says this, verse 23. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians will go to Egypt, Egyptians to Assyria, and they will be a blessing. And they will be blessed by my people, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. It's talked about later in Revelation in chapter 22. The peace and the healing of all nations that will happen. Come, he says, all of you who are thirsty, come and drink the water of the Spirit of life. Anyone who is thirsty, let them come and drink of me. Those who are thirsty, come to all who want to come to the Lord. And this is in Isaiah. This is hundreds, hundreds, and hundreds of years before Jesus comes into this world. Of course, Jesus was present with God and the Holy Spirit always. So when Isaiah is writing these words, they're just not just words. They're beautiful words that even now we can understand these things. And it gives us, you know, little bits of, oh, this is going to be happening. This is going to be a renewal of all things. Heaven and earth coming together as one. But for some, it's been difficult. He says this, strong peoples will honor you, O Lord. Nations will revere you. You have been a refuge for the poor. You have been a refuge for the needy in distress. You have been a shelter from the storm. You have been a shade from the heat. For the breath of ruthless is formed driving against the wall. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds the peoples. He will swallow up death forever, that there will be no longer any death. This is hundreds of years before Jesus is born into the world. And here it is in front of us. Jesus calls it unique in Matthew 19. He calls it the renewal of all things. Peter calls it the restoration of all things. Paul calls it the redemption and liberation of all creation. And then later, Paul calls it one more time, it is the reconciliation of all things. There is joy, no matter how difficult life can be. The promise of God will always be fulfilled with our faith. There is this redeeming nature. That's not my word. That was Isaiah's word. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst open and bloom. Strengthen feeble hands, steady knees that won't give way. Then will the eyes of the blind be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. The beauty of what God promises us in life. And so when we move on next Sunday, looking at Advent, how beautiful these words will be. Because it's comfort. Comfort for everyone. Comfort for all people. Not my words. Here's the words of God. Comfort. Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard work has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double all of her sins. A voice, one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain hill will be made low. The rough ground shall become level and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. God never backs down on his promise. It's something that all of us can be looking forward to. A voice calling in the wilderness was John the Baptist. But John the Baptist didn't want anyone thinking that he was the Messiah. No, no. He always pointed to Jesus. And in all that, he talked about renewal, revival, restoration, that things will take place, and that you and I will be part of it. Every eye shall see. Every eye. So he's called the servant of the Lord. This is way before the birth of Jesus. But listen to what he says. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise a voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till establishing justice on the earth. In this teaching, we will put our hope, a new heaven and a new earth. Then he says this, see, the former things have already taken place, and new things I declare to you, they will spring into your life. How amazing that we can look at Old Testament scripture that gives us the beautiful understanding of where we will be in God's own arms. But now, what does the Lord say? He who created you, he who formed you, do not fear. Listen, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. I will be with you always. Promises of God are incredible. And looking back in Isaiah so many years previously, he reminds us of this. I love this scripture. Do not forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing for you. I am making the wilderness and the streams overflowing. Even I will blot out your sin, and I will remember your sins no more. No more sins. God, please forgive me of my sins. Your sins are forgiven. Well, God, your sins are forgiven. How difficult it is for us to really believe that if we ask, God forgives. And not only so, that when you find someone who is in turmoil, you can share your experience with them. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. And so before Jesus is even born, this restoration of Israel comes. He says, is it too small thing to be a follower of Jesus? No, it is not too small a thing, because he calls us to be with him. And so surely, and this is before Jesus was even coming into the world, surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. We considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. Yes, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. But the Lord laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. But no worries. After he suffered on the cross, he will see the light of day and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many and will bear their iniquities. He's poured out his life unto death, for he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. God made him who had no sin to be sin, so that in him we might have the forgiveness of all. The Son of Man did not come into the world to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So these wonderful words, I picture in my mind Isaiah with a scroll, just writing it out, writing it out, writing it out. Well, what does he know? Who's helping him say these words? Well, we know, don't we? The Lord is always with us. He initiates so many things. And then he says this, which would be overwhelming. God says, see, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they even come to mind. So be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. See, Paul says it's God's intent to bring all things together, things in heaven and things on earth. The amalgamation, the coming together, the wedding, all together as one. So the Bible says the renewal of all things, the restoration of all things, the reconciliation of all things, that all things will come to us. And then finally, in chapter 66, another beautiful passage of scripture. As the new heavens and the new earth that I will make, it will endure before me, so will your name and descendants endure forever. The promise of God and our future. May God bless us with all these words. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. Scripture quotations marked ESV are from the ESV Bible, the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Scripture quotations marked GNT are from the Good News Translation in today's English version, second edition, copyright 1992 by American Bible Society. Used by permission. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.